Why did you have to be? Because it's...
Blog Talk Radio.
Your attention, please. Pay attention, please. Be a witness. We got heroes and heroes risking their lives, bringing truth to the light. They're bringing truth to the light. Your attention, please. Pay attention, please.
I could write a legend to the ledger, and y'all would understand the rules.
Peace and blessings, and welcome to Flavism. I'm sorry, I'm sitting here talking to my daughter, and she's got me dying. So I tell you what we were talking about, but probably not a good thing. So anyway, I am doing a Flavism show tonight, and thought I would open up the phone lines to talk about marketing and promotions as we close out this year and go into a new year. You know, just thought maybe we'd process some of the tactics that people have used, what has worked, what hasn't worked. You know, if you'd be kind enough to share some insights, you know, I'm definitely willing to share what I have learned. And, you know, let's see how maybe we can support each other and go into 2012 stronger with better tools around what it is that we're doing in this industry of the arts. But you know how I do it. I'm going to play a variety of underground independent artists until that first caller calls in. And you know what? I'm going to play this particular piece. It's the first time today that I ever heard it. And I was tagged in this piece with a beautiful message from a beautiful spirit. Her name is Twin Spirit. This is called Beautiful.
Girl, you're beautiful. Don't let them tell you nothing else. Cause you're beautiful. Yeah. We're beautiful. Beautifully blessed.
Skin shades of brown, some light blue ebony black. My hair tight and curly. Some call it nappy, but I like it like that. Not paper thin, my body's curvy and my features are strong. Not some standard of beauty, but I sure enough got it going on.
Be you, cause you're natural. Be you, cause you're natural.
Yes,
be you, cause you're wonderful.
Girl,
it's beautiful.
Go on.
TIFUL, beautiful. And I was honored by being tagged in a post of this particular track today with a beautiful message, and I really, really appreciated it. It was something I needed today. You know, sometimes you just kind of just need to know that you're thought of or you're special. But again, I want to welcome everybody to Flavism. I thought I'd open up the phone lines tonight, and let's talk about marketing and promotion. The publicist that works with Twin Spirits is a gentleman by the name of Hassan Brown with Puzzle Marketing and Media, an absolutely amazing man. He works hard for his clients, and had a great conversation with him yesterday. And some of the other people that are out there, you know, as publicists and managers, have learned a lot of things from them, you know, over the years. And I'd love to open up, you know, the phone lines for you to call in, and let's start a conversation around that. You know, we're closing out 2011. We're going into a new year, and I just really, really want to go into this new year stronger and smarter and with better tools than I had going in, you know, into 2011. So if you'd like to join me in conversation, or if you want to raise your hand, just hit that one button for those of you or that are on the phone line. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. But I'm going to take you in a totally different direction and play a track I just did.
I am the sensual one. I am the sexual one. I am the erotic. I'm the one that others say, she's so out of mind. I am yours, eternally brave. Eternally brave. I am the one dripping with romance. I am the one you hope will give you a second and third chance. I'm the one to drop it like it's hot. Yeah. I'm the one you wish you could, but never forgot. I'm you, your euphoric fantasies, delivering erotic ecstasy, leaving you in a puddle of your own essence. Yeah, that's my ultimate. I'm yours, eternally. I am the one who will go deeper than any woman has ever gone before. I am the woman who will not just enter your mind and body, I want also your heart and then soul. For I am the one who will be loving you unconditionally, so we have both comfortably found. I am yours, eternally blessed. Thank you.
That beautiful piece is called Eternally Blaze, and the artist's name is. So if you're interested in joining me in conversation, you know, I could start it out. I'm getting pretty good at talking to myself, but I would love to hear from you. The call-in number is 347-857-1189, and if you choose to come in on the line and want to join me in conversation, just hit that one button. But I'm just going to continue to play some more music, and then, you know, maybe I'll throw some thoughts and concerns that I have had, you know, over the year around this particular subject. Signature piece, Gravity. And, you know, let me just say something about Monica. She doesn't have a publicist or manager, you know, working with her. She's been blessed to kind of have built a street team a little bit, but she does a lot of the work herself, from, you know, working on her Reverb Nation and putting that out, to, you know, circulating her video for Gravity, to, you know, circulating the shows. She's played, you know, performed in a variety of shows down there in Jacksonville, Florida, into Mississippi and South Carolina and Florida. And it's just, you know, it's amazing just to watch what she has done, you know, on her own. And I have a much, much respect for her. You know, there are a few people that are paying attention and helping her, you know, get her music played on radio, such as a gentleman by the name of Doug Gordon. You know, but then you have Twin Spirit, who I opened up my show with, and she has a great publicist, Hassan Brown, that's helping her. But I can see, you know, just a little bit that I've been paying attention to Twin Spirit on Facebook. You know, she's got a kind, if you're just doing it on your own. Love to hear from you. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. I do have somebody who's raised their hand, so let me bring them in. Welcome to Flavism, Stephen Jerome Ferguson.
Hello, Lady Flavor. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm hoping that we can get a strong conversation going around marketing and promotions. What are your thoughts? You think we can do that?
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of like one of my favorite subjects, really. Yeah, okay.
I think this is probably the last thing that artists really think about when they decide to become creative and decide to put a product out there to the public is how am I going to market and promote it? What do you think? Do you think that's something that an artist goes into being an artist thinking about?
Probably more than half of them don't. I know I didn't. I didn't give it a whole lot of thought until, pretty much after the fact. A lot of times we go into it, and not just musicians, but, artists on a whole, you
sure.
kind of have this feeling that, the art will pretty much promote and sell itself, but that's not necessarily true. You have to find a way to reach an audience, and I'll tell you, marketing and promotion, that's almost a full-time job almost by itself almost. You have to put a lot of time into it, a lot of effort.
Yeah, you definitely do. I mean, even if you just do the social networks and putting it out, when you have an album or a video and just, how to, I would hope that there's some strategy to, how and who you go and promote to when you're online. But even in that can, that can take, 8 hours in itself just doing the social networks. And I think that, when it comes to that, I don't even know if people really think about the strategy with that. One of the things that you and I have talked about, Stephen, on different shows is the fact that a lot of times artists are promoting amongst artists. We already know artists don't support artists,
right.
Especially financially, and
right.
especially when it comes to reposting. So to me, that just seems so ineffective. To go that direction. So then the challenge is how to identify, somebody who, really loves, in your case, jazz artists or spoken word artists.
Right.
And how to promote and who to promote to, to get them to pay attention, to get them to, reshare. But more so,
spinning your wheels anyway. Just using me as an example, there's no need in me trying to market myself to people that just listen to country western music. I'm just wasting my time doing that.
Right.
You have to find something that works for you. There's a lot of information out on the internet about marketing and promotion and sales and all that type of stuff like that. A lot of people have like free webinars and stuff like that that last about an hour or so, where they let you know what they did to be successful and that type of stuff like that. And a lot of it has nothing to do with it. It may not have anything to do with the art that you're trying to promote. They may be selling tennis shoes or something, but sometimes the techniques that they use can be translated into something that you could use to promote whatever you're selling or whatever you're promoting.
Right.
So you have to do your research. You have to do a lot of research and a lot of reading, a lot of listening, and come up and formulate your plan and stick to it. And make it a plan that's realistic. You can't tell yourself that if, let's say, again, using myself for instance, I've got a full-time job, raising two girls at home, okay? It's unrealistic for me to say I could spend 40 hours a week on promoting.
Right.
That's completely unrealistic. So what I try to do is I try to get at least 10 to 15 hours of just marketing and promotion work a week alone. If I can do that, then I'm doing pretty good.
Right. And when you market and promote, Stephen, what
if you sincerely believe that you have a good product, try to let that allow that sincerity to come through. That's the biggest part of it right there.
Right.
The second part, and just again using myself as an example, I have to try to find the people that dig what I'm doing. Like I said, it's no need in me trying to promote myself to somebody that just likes opera or rock music or something like that, because I don't do that.
Right.
I've got to find the people that listen to stuff that is similar to what I'm doing. And the next step is not a whole lot what you do. It's, and this may sound a little selfish, but it's got a lot to do what you can get other people to start saying about you. That's the key to good marketing. If you can get other people to start talking about what you're doing, then you're going in the right direction. The internet and social networking sites have made that part of it a whole lot easier. But it takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. It may not happen. You may put in 3-4 months of work on promotion before you even start seeing a whole lot of results on it. Promoting and marketing is not instantaneous. It's just like creating a project. You start from a point, and then you get to an end point on a project. The same thing is true with marketing almost. It's almost not like a destination. It's a journey almost. You never get there. You're always going there. So you can't let that discourage you. Just know that when you're doing it, like I said, be sincere about it. Be truthful as you possibly can about it. And just keep going. Just keep pumping. Like you were talking about Monica. Monica is a perfect example of that. She's like the Energizer Bunny. I mean, she just keeps going and going and going, and you have to do that. But she's come up with a plan that works for her, that fits in her time schedule, and she's got a sincere love and appreciation for what she's doing, and she lets that come through. And when you do that, it doesn't even feel like work. You know, I have put in days just on marketing and promotion, and it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like it at all. If you look at it like work, then it's not going to happen for you. But you still you have to do it.
Yeah, and I think that you're right. I think that when you get in that mindset and you know, got your momentum going and everything, it does flow really quickly that you could turn around and say, man, I've been doing this for like 3, 4, 5, 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and didn't even eat, you know. So, you know, I think that you do have to have a plan of action. I do agree with you, Stephen. First of all, you have to have faith. I don't have money to spend to pay somebody else or to purchase, you know, advertisements or, you know, the different promotional tools. This is when you yourself need to really be able to connect with your potential fans. And once you connect with them and they feel you and they feel your products, and especially if you can get them to purchase your product and they love it, you're right. There's your street team right there. You know,
mm-hmm.
You encourage them to help spread the word. You know, bring them in and let them know they're a part of your team. You know, you value them. You know, and say, you know, can you please let your circle know, you know, that you yourself, you know, have enjoyed, you know, my product. I was talking about this on Saturday, Stephen. You know, I'm just really surprised. I kind of feel disappointed because, you know, sometimes I get into this mama thing, like I want to scold my children or, you know, whatever. But I'm so surprised to see the lack of artists promoting their art for the holidays. I know that we're in,
yeah.
you know, we're in a time where the economy is extremely bad. But I do believe that there are still going to be people purchasing presents for the holidays, you know. And I'm like, where are the, where are the promotional products? You know, why is it that Stephen Jerome Ferguson's the only one with a flyer and a video out, you know, to promote, you know, We Are One and Windows to the Soul? You know, it was just like, wow. You know, Ralph Lofton, he's doing a pretty good job, you know, promoting his Christmas music right now. But I'm not seeing the authors, you know, I'm not seeing, you know, the spoken word artists with books and CDs. I'm not seeing the visual artists, you know, that have paintings or graphics or, you know, I'm not seeing even the photographers.
Just, you know, you can't cut the TV on now without seeing some kind of Christmas commercial from somebody, you know. So I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know. And that's where I got most of my ideas from was, you know, just watching these little commercials and stuff on TV. I say, you know what? What's wrong with me doing a little 2 or 3 minute video or a minute and a half video or something like that to say, okay, these two CDs are on sale and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's not hurting anything. I mean,
right.
The worst I could do is stay exactly like I am, you know? So
right.
There's only an upside to it. And it took me every bit of, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes to do those videos.
Right.
So, and I didn't have to go out and get a producer and a choreographer and all that other kind of stuff. It's just, you know, hey, here's the CDs. You know, you're listening to some of the music that's on it right now, playing with the video. This is how much they cost. This is where you can go to get them. Boom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things that you and I have talked about, and you know, and you expressed this the other day, and I appreciated it. You know, because I think the thing is that as an artist, especially a very, you know, a veteran, you know, at this game, somebody who's putting out a very, very clean, polished product, I know it's got to be frustrating, and just in the year's time, you know, that I've known you, Stephen, you know, I mean, they started raving about your music from day one that I started playing it, you know, and people contacting me and people calling into the show and, you know, you getting your music played on other shows and people, you know, these people saying, you know, how soothing and smooth it is and how it takes away headaches and, you know, calms their soul and helps them go to sleep. And then you're like, okay, I got a deal right now. So you can come buy it, you know, or you can, you know, your favorite artist product online. And, you know, it's, you know, it's just interesting to me where the priority is or where the real support is when it comes to indie artists, you know, and how far will somebody go? I'll be honest with you, Stephen. I received 3 money orders in the mail the other day for memberships for Flava News. Do you know how thrilled I was?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
that was
I understand.
So
yeah.
Exciting to me, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, it's one thing when I get a payment online, you know, and don't get me wrong, I appreciate the online payments. You know, but when somebody actually takes the time to go and get a money order and a stamp, and put it in an envelope and stick it in the mail, that really means a lot to me, you know, and it means that they believe in what it is that I'm creating. So, you know, if we could just turn that into really, really showing support to the artists and, you know, but I think, you know, but again, going back to the topic of marketing and promotions, you know, I've had some great conversations with some of the people whose artists have been able to take things to the next level, you know, and, you know, or with, you know, for instance, Hassan Brown, you know, of Puzzle Marketing and Media. You know, and he talked about the fact of just really, really, this is the time to get creative, you know, really exploring where can, you know, his artists fit in. And where is it going to work? And what is the benefit of everybody that would be involved in a product, you know, project going to be? What does that look like? You know, and I think that you do need to kind of think that through. What, why should the consumer support you? You know, why should, you know, what is, what are they really going to get out of it? And then you will, you said, this is where, you know, I've got my books, I've got my CDs right here, I'll autograph it for you. You know, I just think that this is the time to really, really think this through. How and who can you, you know, market your product to that may potentially buy it? And I think that you do need to do your research. You know, I think you, you know, sometimes I've had this discussion with artists that don't buy into it. But, you know, I'm going to, in my own way, stay firm to it. I do think you need to know who your target audience is.
Yes, you do.
You know, I just, yes. I really do. I think you need to know. I think you need to have an idea of demographics, you know, economics to, you know, to all of that. And then you find a way to find those particular, you know, people. So, like you were saying, you know, being a jazz artist, you, it would make no sense to market on a, you know, a country, you know, a bit more. You know, I'm addicted to Facebook. I love it. You know, some of it's because it's easy for me to share, you know, about
right.
Flavin' News on there. But the other part of it is it just cracks me up what, you know, what I see, you know, on there, how people promote or how people interact with people, and that's just kind of entertaining for me. But, you know, at least I'd say, 65-70% of the people, you know, than just artists in what it is that I'm doing. But the great thing, like, for instance, with Blog Talk Radio is somebody, if they're bored and they want to come online and they want to hear something, there's always a radio show on 24 hours on Blog Talk Radio, depending on the different time zones.
Right.
So there are people who come and seek you out. The listenership of the archives of my shows probably in the last month have grown. I can't tell you the exact figures, but I mean it's like almost tripled what I did the last month. You know,
right.
And you know, and that's from either word of mouth or people getting used to me and just coming back and checking out my archives, because you know, a good portion of my listeners, especially archive listeners, are international listeners. And so you know, I've been able to, you know, grab an audience internationally, you know, but when it comes to the music part or to, you know, the authors, it's just like I started out.
There are, I have to go back to the musicians again because that's what I know. And most of the people, most of the indie artists that I know, probably about 90% of them, also have a page set up on Reverb Nation. And
that's
a real good site to help you promote your music because they give you the tools for free to do it. And even some of the ones that you have to pay for are very, very cheap. They're very reasonable. But a lot of people don't use those tools. Either they don't use them or they overuse them.
Mm-hmm.
And by overusing, I'm saying like, for instance, whenever somebody sends me a friend request or something on Reverb Nation, I'll accept it. You know, it's usually another artist, and I'll sign up for their newsletter. You know,
right? Exactly.
You know, you have to be consistent. But I'm gonna tell you like. When I first got into the music business, I got on the gospel scene, and I had a man that he kind of managed our group and everything. And one thing he told me that really stuck to me was, "Don't make them glad twice. Don't make them glad
right.
to see you come, and don't make them glad to see you go."
Right.
You know, you don't want to. You know, people sign up for your newsletter. It's you know, they're doing you a favor. Don't overstay your welcome. You know, don't bombard their email box 3, 4, 5, 6 times a week with actually just a newsletter that really is not saying anything. It's like, hey, how you doing? I was just, just wanted to stop by and say hi and that kind of thing. What? I don't want to hear that from an artist. build some kind of rapport with your fan base.
Yeah.
They got to know that if they feel like they are important to you, then eventually they will buy something from you.
I agree. You know, I think that if you can personally connect with them or make them feel like you are personally connected.
Right.
Especially if you have a product that they seem to like, but you just seem to, you just make them feel like, you're right there with them and you're kind of consistent in that. I agree. I do believe that they will definitely turn around and then show financial support.
But I was saying if you do it the other way, if the only time you contact people is to say, buy my this, buy my this, buy my
right.
this, buy my this.
For you to, put whatever it is that you're doing in front of a person. And that generally they don't, really pay attention until about the seventh time.
Right.
And, it's just like out here in Seattle. If you want to purchase, advertisement space in one of the local newspapers, they sell a 7-week plan.
Right.
Exactly. There's a strategy to it. And they say that it takes 7 times before you notice that ad in the newspaper. But if you think about it out here in Seattle, we can use Starbucks, as a good example. It used to be a stand down, in Pike Place Market here in Seattle. I don't think I ever bought coffee from that Starbucks stand. And when it all of a sudden became a Starbucks, city, I couldn't tell you when that happened, but all of a sudden, Starbucks is everywhere.
Right.
I mean, downtown Seattle, they build Starbucks across the street from each other. So when you think coffee, trust and believe in Seattle, Washington, you think Starbucks. It's just an automatic thing. And I think that was the struggle for me as a mom and pop coffee house is that, everybody in Seattle thinks Starbucks. Then after I built my coffee shop, a Starbucks went up on the left-hand side of me and the right-hand side of me. And I'm like, okay, there was no wind. They had, one of the Starbucks had a big parking lot. The other Starbucks had a drive-up window. I couldn't compete with that,
Brand recognition.
Exactly.
That's what it's all about. It's about brand recognition. I know John D. Green Sr. and all them guys and Eternally Blaze, they got this nickname for me, Mr. Smooth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That is my marketing strategy. When my goal is if you think about mellow music or something real smooth to listen to, I want you to automatically think SJF music.
Right.
And if I could get that to happen, or that goes for anybody. If you're a photographer and you do still life, your goal is that when people think of still life photography, they automatically think your name.
Exactly.
If you can get it to that, then you'll that goes back to finding your niche. You find what you're good at doing, and you stick with it. There's 6 billion people on this planet. Chances are there are 100,000 people on this planet that dig the music that I make. All I have to do is find them. That's all. I know that that sounds easy, but that's basically what it is.
Right.
That's basically what you're doing. You have to find the people that dig what you do. Once you do that, once you get that done, then those people will start spreading the word for you. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier. It's not a whole lot about what you do. It's about what you could get other people to say about you.
Right.
And once you get that ball rolling, then the rest of it is a piece of cake. And it helps. There's a lot of sites online that you can go to that can help you with your marketing and promotion. They ask you what areas you want to promote this song in. If you want to do it nationally, globally, whatever. Then they ask you questions like, well, what does this song sound like? What artist does it sound like? And they take that information and they go out and find people that fit that category and shoot your stuff out to them. It costs some money,
okay.
But, you know, it could be worth it to you in the long run. You're going to end up paying something.
Right.
If you want to get to the next level, I'm sorry, but there's only so much you could do for free. You know, and if it means just sitting back and, you know, saving $5 every couple of weeks out your paycheck until you get the money to do it, then that's what you got to do.
Right.
But it's worth it. It has about I think the average is like 130 friends.
Sure.
You know, if you can get that one person to post your artwork on their page, then you figure even if you go with just half of their friends look at it, you know, you got the chance that 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 of those people may like what you're doing and then repost it on their page. That's why they call it a viral network. You know, but you know, it's the first thing you have to do is you have to have a quality product to start with.
Right.
If
right.
you don't
and
have that, you know, no matter what you do, it's not going to help you.
Exactly. And that's a great point. I think that you've made several great points in the last 5 minutes, Stephen, that, you know, first I would, you know, say again about the branding. I think it is really important to brand yourself. You know, one day they put a leopard outfit on their baby, you know, and sent me the picture, you know, and so, you know, and I'm like, you know, that warmed my heart, you know, but it's, you know, I think that is something that's really important is to brand yourself and to be consistent with that brand and make it something that is, I was going to say, I hope this doesn't sound mean, but something that's respectful, you know, respectable that they can remember you by.
Right.
You know, and so that it's just they always think about that when they experience something that reminds them of you. So it's like, you know, I could sit down, you know, at lunch with somebody and I see an outfit out of the corner of my eye and say, you know what, have you ever heard of Monica Monet? Just because I saw maybe some long flowing hair and some bright colors on a woman. And some pink lipstick. And I'll say, you know what? You really should go check her out. Just because I happen to see that visual that made me think of her. Or I see a bald head and I hear some smooth music in the background, I might say, you know what? Have you ever heard of Stephen Jerome Ferguson? You really need to go over to SJF Music, you know, website and go check him out, you know, or whatever. So I think that branding is something that's really important. I do think that consistency is important. I think that, you know, and persistency. You know, I think that you have to be persistent. You have to can only go so far.
Right.
And, you know, even if it's, you know, spending that little money to be able to have an EPK, you know, to send out when people, you know, request it. Or, you know, you go and you join, I want to say Sonic Bids is that what the site's called, and have that potential opportunity for people that are just seeking out artists to come and find you,
right,
you know, online. And they'd have a great tool over there. It's not very much, you know, $7 a month or something like that to be over there. And, you know, you have the capability of, you know, sending out the electronic press kit, EPK, for those of you that don't know what an EPK is. The other thing is, let me bring this up before I forget it, because it was a conversation that I had last night. When you step out there to be an artist, it's really important that you do have a press kit, no matter what your art form is. And something was brought to my attention, you know, about my own self, you know, that I should, you know, have an updated press kit for myself, you know, on who I am and what it is that I do. But have one ready, you know, and make sure you keep it updated, you know, as you, you know, when it comes to your fact sheet, you know, make sure as you do events or you, you know, you're involved in a product or project or, you know, whatever, you know, make sure that that's, you know, you keep that written down. And,
wow.
And it was like, yeah, that's exactly what I said. It was like, wow. You know, and if you don't know what a press kit is, if you don't know how to write an artist bio, there are so many resources online that will teach you how to do that. There are some of the creative souls that I've come across that have been, that have, you know, done, who've become extremely creative with how they did it. And I will be honest with you, it works. It really works for me. Swift taught mine because he took it to a different level that now I will talk about it, you know, 2 years later, you know, or whatever, in the experience of just that. To the, on top of it, when I met him in person, just so respectful, you know, very, very respectful. So, you know, have all your tools in place, you know, whether you work off of Reverb Nation, whether you work off of MySpace, you know, Facebook, you have a website, keep it updated, you know, have radio-friendly tracks. Now, when I say radio-ready, DeLon says this a lot. He'll say, you know, that he was told, when you listen to your track, listen to it against your favorite mainstream artist and see if the quality comes close. That is some of the best advice that I think that you can be given when you are a recording artist. To determine what the quality of it is.
Take your favorite artists or your favorite songs, put them in a playlist, and then just slide one of your pieces in the middle of that playlist somewhere. If your song stands out in that playlist for some reason because it's, you know, too low, too high, too this, too that, then you need to go back and fix it. Bottom line. That's some very good advice right there.
I learned this lesson the hard way, Stephen, because, you know, when I first started doing the radio shows, I tell this story, you know, I was just thrilled to do radio, right? I was, like, excited. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I was just so excited to have artists send me their tracks, right? I was like, you should hear some of the stuff I really got in the very beginning. I was like, oh, my God, are you serious? You know, and then I would get some amazing tracks such as, you know, an artist like yourself, Stephen, that's very well polished. The production is outstanding. And I would play your track. I didn't really realize that. So then I had started the Flossom and Tossom shows, you know, and it was like playing three tracks for 15 minutes and having people go over and vote on the tracks, Flossom or Tossom. I didn't give the artist names and I didn't give the track out. I just wanted you to listen to it and, you know, let me know your thoughts. That was really interesting, the feedback I got from that. I also had artists tell me it was mean that I did that. You know?
If somebody doesn't like a piece that I do, then it will be because they just don't like the song. It's not going to have anything to do with the quality of the music. I mean, I will do a song, Mary Had a Little Lamb, but it's going to be studio quality.
Right.
Okay. So.
Right.
You know, and not to spend some time studying. You have to spend some time researching. You have to spend some time learning how to use your stuff. I got equipment that I've had for 4 or 5 years, and just now learning how to use all the bells and whistles in them. It takes time.
Definitely.
You know, if I could do this 24/7, you know, I probably could have did it a long time ago.
Yeah.
But you know,
sure.
You know, but still.
About that, Stephen, I'm still a bit challenged. You know, but most people aren't as challenged as me. You know, when it comes to technology, so. Yeah, there are great tools out there that can help you even learn how to use the equipment. You know, and many of the colleges have those, what do you call those programs? You know, where you can go take three classes and learn how to do something or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, a lot of the colleges have, you know, either free or inexpensive, you know, classes that you can take. You know, or there are... you know, programs online that you can take to learn to use the programs, you know, whatever. I mean, just even now, back in the day, you know, you had to write a book and type it out and use a certain font and use, you know, certain, you know, settings and all of that and send it to a publisher to have your book most likely rejected. Well, now, you know, you can self-publish yourself, you know. Libre, there's Lulu, even Amazon will, you know, publish a book for you, you know. So it's like anybody can become a published author or a published poet, you know, nowadays. But again, as Stephen was saying, you know, you really, really want to make sure that your product is quality. Again, going back to a conversation that I had with Hassan Brown yesterday, and he stressed the fact that the artists that he works with are quality. They smite. And so the reputation speaks for itself, you know, as I started this journey as being a supporter of underground independent artists, you know, that was something that I had to change. I couldn't just, if I wanted to be taken serious about what it is that I do. And when I made the decision that I want to turn this into an actual business and not just have this as a pastime and a hobby, can sell you. It's
right.
Not a matter of you going up and saying, hey, would you be my manager? Even though maybe that might work that direction, but that manager is going to be putting in work because that manager is going to be broke until you start making money.
Exactly.
You know,
and I saw somebody post on your page something that was similar to that when you were talking about doing this show and about promotion and marketing. And they said something like, hey, you know, I could promote them, but if I don't believe in what they're doing, then I can't promote them. And it's the same thing with a manager, you know, and it's the same way when you're promoting your own stuff. You know, if you don't believe in it, then you're not going to be willing to put the effort in. So,
right.
Yeah, that definitely goes towards, I mean, when you got somebody that wants to represent you, then that's what they're doing. They're representing you. And if they don't believe in what you're doing, then, you know, it's probably not going to happen anyway. They probably won't even find you. They probably won't even talk to you.
Exactly.
Unless you pay them up front.
Well, but, you know, even at that, you know, even if you have the money to pay them up front, you know, I think that you have to have all of the things that we talked about tonight, you know, faith in what it is that you are doing, you know, and you know, having a strategy and a plan, you know, be consistent in personality and in, you know, the quality of what you're creating. One thing that I will say, though, is there's some amazing talents out there. I mean, as far as very, very gifted talents, I won't touch them. I will not work with them. I will not do anything for them because their personality absolutely sucks.
That was going to be my next point, is that not only does your product have to be quality, but so do you.
Yeah.
You have to be quality because
usually it's consistent with who you are. Another interesting conversation that I had recently is that there are, you know, in this conversation we decided that there are artists that create because they think that's what's going to sell.
Ow,
and then there
I
are
hate
art-
that. I
and
hate
then
to
there
hear
are
that.
Artists, right. You know, and it may not necessarily be something they believe in, you know, but they create it, you know. Mm.
It all goes back to your motivation. I mean, if you're in this to make money, then, hey, you know, go for it. You know, knock yourself out. You know, just make something that sounds like somebody else and try to sell it. You know, if you do, you know, God bless you. Have a great day. But most of the artists I know, especially independent artists, are not in it to sound like somebody else. They're in it to be creative on their own. Mm-hmm. And, well, I don't know. I'm not a believer in the, you know, make something just because that's what you think the public wants right now.
Exactly.
I've never believed in that. And, you know, unfortunately, the major record labels believe in it because they practice it every day. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's them, you know.
Right, right.
That's probably
so,
why I'll never be with a major record label because I'm not going to have anybody telling me that, okay, you have to make this sound like this. Say, you
well,
know what
you know
I need
what,
to make?
Even, yeah, I don't think you would want to do that anyhow. You know, I
I'm
mean,
not going
that
to.
I think
that ain't
that,
happening.
I think that the major record labels definitely are dying, you know, out, you know, and that it's turning into this independent. Even though the independent labels, some of them are so sleep, create, I mean, they own you. You know,
mm-hmm.
I have a friend, Travis Fox. I don't think he'd mind me mentioning his name in regards to this, but he was writing for a publisher. His very first book, Poison Ivy, was produced by a actual publisher. And they tried to tell him how to write his second book.
Oh, they will,
and
yeah.
And that was such a struggle for him that he actually fought it and got out of his contract. But it honestly took years for him to get out of his contract with this particular publisher. You know, but, you know, you know, everybody's like, I want to get picked up by a record label, or I want to get picked up by a publisher or whatever. And you're like, okay, do you understand that you're signing your life away?
Be
do
careful
you
what you ask
that?
For.
Exactly. You mm-hmm. know, do you understand when you get that signing check, you don't get no money until the company's made that money they gave you back.
Right.
And once mm-hmm. they, you know, if they give you $5,000, you're not getting anything until $5,001, you know,
right.
has been made, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you know, all that great, too. The other thing to keep in mind is when you go sign with a publisher is that, you know, or recording, you know, mainstream recording agency or whatever, there are different levels of artists that they're working with. They got those artists that they know are going to make them. There's just so many things that you need to be consistent about. We can go over the points that Stephen has made tonight, you know, being consistent, branding yourself, you know, having faith in what it is that you're creating, finding your target audience. I really strongly believe that's important. You know, if you are an urban writer, then you don't want to go over and start advertising your book to, you know, a romance, you know, fan base. You know, if you're a sci-fi, you don't want to go over and you know, advertise your sci-fi to a Western fan base. The one thing that I am doing here at Flavor News Radio, and especially since I turned this into a members only, I do shows that I call a gumbo pot, even if I don't actually turn it, you know, when I advertise it, say gumbo pot. But there are times when I will do a show such as what I did last night where I will play a variety of artists from jazz to, you know, alternative rock to spoken word hip-hop, R&B, soul, you know, funk, whatever the artists that have joined the movement, you know, the genres that are represented. And to me, I do that because there is a chance, and it has proven to work well for me, that there is somebody out there listening that might hear something that they never have heard before and actually like it.
Right.
I will do it, and I need to really think about how far back that went, but I'll say 2006 when I became a professional book reviewer. I told Yasmin that I would be willing to read any genre. And generally I was kind of a drama romance, you know, was my favorite choice, you know, of literature. And I found that I, you know, grew to love sci-fi. I thought I would never love sci-fi, you know, or
have contacted me to say that they liked what I was doing. And these people were, they were devoted country western listeners, or, you know, the only thing they listened to was opera or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they would contact me saying, hey, I really like your stuff, you know, keep up the good work and that kind of stuff like that.
Right.
And, you know, that's going to happen. You know, you're going to get people to hear, somebody's going to stumble across your stuff, but they can't stumble across it until you get it out there to that core group, and then that core group starts spreading it.
Right.
Once that, you know, once that core group starts spreading it, then I'll give you a perfect example. I've got a gentleman that I work with that only thing he ever listened to was country rock. That's all he ever listened to.
You just made a really good point that I hadn't thought about, but it kind of goes along with what we've been talking about, Stephen, and it's this, is that, you know, if you really like an artist, you're really passionate about an artist, you could potentially sell somebody who never liked or shown an interest in that genre of art and introduce them to it and might be able to win a new fan for that artist. So that's something to think about too. And I can, you know, tell a story too in regards to my mentor. You know, she works with, in the corporate world, you know, and, you know, isn't necessarily one that you're going to see at a hip-hop show. But she did come to my birthday party, and she enjoyed, my birthday party and experiencing, you know, some of the hip-hop. Some of it was a little raw or some of it was a little loud. But, you know, even somebody we had put on Sugar Hill Gang, you know, and she got to singing the words. She's like, Susan, it's so funny. I actually knew the words to that. You know, but she turned around, and I Love My Life is one of her favorite songs by Black Stax. You know, that's not a hip-hop song because it features Felicia Loud, but, you know, it definitely has that urban flair to it. And if I had not ever, like, really pushed it online to the point that she was, clicked on the video and listened to the music, she turned around and she requested Black Stax as a friend on Facebook. That wouldn't have ever happened. You know,
that's
so
right.
I think that when you believe in another, you know, artist talent and what they're doing, you might, you know, really, really help be able to gain a fan, you know, for that artist, just behind you, that believe in you and what you're creating. You know, it is so important. You know, even when I talk about a publicist or a manager, you know, those people, if they're really, really effective for their clients, they really believe in what's being created, you know, because they're putting a lot on the line in, you know, working for you, you know, to do this. And so it is going to be about that quality. It is going to be something that's going to be about marketing. You know, if you have that opportunity to pay somebody that can and will do that work for you, I really strongly believe that you've got to continue the hype yourself, you know, even if you have that capability of hiring somebody to do it, you know. And, you know, when you think about what you see, you know, out there in the media as far as how people with money market themselves, really, really think about that. You know, what's catching your attention? What's causing you to pay attention? What
exactly.
do you as an artist turn it into, you know, something
you
that you can
use? Strategy. Use that
right.
same strategy yourself and just, you know, change a little bit here, a little bit there. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's not like you have to figure out how to make the wheel. You don't have to do that. The wheel's already been created. The
mm-hmm.
people out there are using the stuff already. All you got to do is, like what you just said. Just
a flyer for an event at a club. And you got a big booty girl with her, you know, butt and chest all out. I mean, I'm like, what does that have to do with the club? I'm just like,
yeah.
I've never gotten a promoter or graphic designer who has made those flyers to answer me. I could get all the people, usually they're my age, that say, oh, I don't like to see, you know, women objectified that way or whatever. But it's like, why is it that it has to be sold that way? Why couldn't you create a flyer to say, you know, come down to, you know, Twilight Lounge, you know, on such and such night, so-and-so is going to be DJing, drink specials, you know, come get your grown folk on or some, whatever, right?
Right.
You know, and it's just some great, great colors, some great graphics with the clear information where the club is, who's DJing, what it's going to cost, what's the age that, you know, can get in, whatever.
And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that landscape is starting to change a little bit. Well, it's starting to change a lot. Because
mm-hmm.
one thing is happening that a lot of smart people are starting to realize is that consumers are a lot smarter than what they used to be. You know, they recognize, you know, they can recognize the little stuff like that. It's just, you know, okay, yeah, this is, you know, this is old. You know, this is, you know, don't nobody.
I would just really honestly be curious, Stephen. Would you get
mm-hmm.
less people to the club if you didn't have the booty girl on there?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. The hip hop culture has kind of made that a staple for right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because every time you see a hip hop video, what do you see
right.
in the video? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, that's
right.
that's kind of like, you know, okay, if you don't see a hip hop video or you don't see women's booties in it, then you think there's something wrong with it almost. You know,
right.
but you know, even that is starting to change a little bit because, you know, people are starting to say no to that kind of stuff now. And, you know, eventually it'll get to the, you know, to the hip-hop community, but, you know, it's going to be a slow and steady process. You know, I can see hip-hop getting back to where it started from.
You know,
like,
I can see
like the
it
Sugar
too.
Hill gangs and, you know,
sure.
that kind of stuff like that. You know, it's going to eventually get back to that because things run in a cycle anyway. You know, so.
You're right. And I do think that if there's enough of us that are showing that we are, I was going to say successful in what it is that we're doing and who's paying attention, and we continue to make these comments and not support what it is that's being put out there, they're, in a sense, will be forced to go in a different direction. I also
exactly.
think that the artists, you know, if they're young artists and their parents, you know, as their children grow, you know, is it something that they really can represent, you know, with their children? You know, because I think that's something to really, really think about, you know.
And trust me, the next generation.
When you have a product to sell, I think creating an attractive, solid visual to promote that product is really important. You know, whether it is a flyer that says, hey, you know, come check me out over at SJF Music. You know, you can buy my CDs or single downloads over there. Or if you've got a book, you know, that's coming out, you know, and you want to sell, let people know, you know, when it's coming out. Let them know if it is out, where they can go and buy it. But create a flyer, not just, you know, typing one of those, you know, a text message, you know, post on Facebook. Okay, this is an interesting thing. Okay, you know how when everybody was circulating those little sayings, you know, like going on to Google and finding something about, you know, support, you know, and reposting that picture or whatever. You know, when I was doing that and I was reposting those, like, sayings and this and that, I would get at least, you know, 20, 30 likes. Now, when I type something and say I'm going to do a radio show supporting independent artists, I get 2 likes. I think it's kind of interesting, but it kind of shows what people will pay attention to. So I think that if you create a visual, I think that, you know, you may have more, you know, of an opportunity to catch somebody's eye because you created something that's eye-appealing. To them, that also makes it very easy for them to hit the share button to repost, you know, to repost for you. Because when you type it up in text form, then they have to copy and paste, and then it may get lost in the translation when they see, you know, somebody else, you know, posting it. I do think, like Stephen said, you know, there's some great, easy, free tools to create videos. And, you know, even if you don't have, you know, a webcam or you don't have, you know, a camcorder or whatever to record something, you can take still pictures of yourself or your product or things that tie into what it is that you're trying to sell, and create a very effective visual tool in video form, you know, with your music in the background or you talking. One of the things that I had been trying for the last 2 years with authors, and maybe I need to just do it, push it a little harder, is, you know, I've put it out to authors to create an audio drop or an audio recording of a section, you know, of their book, and to be able to play that on my radio shows to say, okay, you know, this is, you know, such and such book. We'll say Breaststrokes, you know, author Alvin Lloyd Alexander Horn. He reads a set. I've never gotten anybody to do that, except I do have a little snippet, you know, from TC about Morning Thief. And so with Elijah Muad's voice, you know, speaking, who is the voice of that particular blog book. But, you know, there's so many ways to do it. And I just really, again, will encourage anybody, you know, to really think through, what did you do in 2011 that really worked when it came to marketing and promoting? My sister Lisa, you know, I've got many adopted family members, so, you know, some of you may not even pay attention to whether they're actually blood relatives or they are people who've just been in my life. But Alicia had sent me kind of a work list on, you know, identifying what worked in 2011 and didn't work in 2011. And what is it that you want to see happen in 2012? And what are the tools that you're going to need?
That's the definition of insanity, is when you do something over and over again and you expect different results. That is the textbook definition of insanity. But you're absolutely right. Is you should keep good notes. I mean, write stuff down. Keep a journal. You know, I kind of took a page out of your book when it came to that, because I got right now about 3, 4, 5 journals laying around the house right now, just stuff in it that I write down, like I said, stuff that worked, stuff that didn't work, you know, whatever. And but right now, I'd like to say to everybody that we're going to have funeral services right now. for the term I can't. We're going to take that term and we're going to put it in a box and we're going to speak our words over it and we're going to put it in the ground and forget about it. Two minutes and just spend a little bit of time, research. It's a place, it's called CNET, the letter C, N-E-T, .com.
Okay.
They have tons and tons and tons of free software that you could just hit the download button and download to your computer that you could use to help you make things like video presentations, slideshow presentations, audio recording software. All this stuff is just free. It's just out there, you know. You don't need a $300 microphone to record your voice over a little short video of a presentation of your work or anything like that. YouTube is free. All you have to do is set up an account and you can upload videos all day long. You know, it's no excuse anymore. None.
Right, right.
None. But you have to get up off your butt, make an effort, and do it. That's all you have to do. You have not because you ask not. You also have not because you ain't doing nothing. You're sitting around waiting for somebody to, oh, people need to buy my music, people, but you ain't promoting it. You know, you're
exactly.
Yeah, you know, that's I don't get that. I mean. I'm not selling off the rack. No, I'm not. I'm going to be honest. I'm not. You know, but I have made some money off of my music.
Right.
Okay. I've had people actually buy CDs. I had a young lady a few weeks ago send me an email saying that, you know, she wanted two of my CDs. She wanted to send one to her brother up in. She's sitting up there. But still. If I don't promote it, people will walk by that CD and say, Stephen Jerome Ferguson, who the heck is he? You still, even if it's in the stores, you still have to promote them.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, if people don't know where they can go buy it, you know, it's not going to get bought. And I'm glad that you brought that up because this is something that I have not pursued as of yet, but this is a goal that I will put in Seattle, you know, and depending on the success of that, you know, it could grow into other stores, you know, across the United States to be able to work that out. I do know that there is a lady who runs a store in New Orleans Airport, and she had reached out to me 2 years ago and said, you know, Flava, if you've got quality artists that you want me to check out, I might be able to sell their CDs in my airport store. You know, so there are definitely, you know, opportunities, you know, for things like that to be had. And that's what I also say when it comes to being creative. You just don't know what angle might work. You know, I have mentioned this
exactly.
Several times on past shows. You know, I just happened to connect, you know, with some filmmakers. So trust and believe when I, you know, have general conversation with them, I always say, you know, I know artists if you need music for your films, you know, so music could, you know, potentially get put in, you know, into a film or your contact to write a score, you know, or anything. I mean, there's so many, you know, here in Seattle, you know, some of the news stations play local artist music or indie artist music, you know, on their little breaks for the news, you know, so there's just different ways, you know, my friend Travis that I spoke with earlier about Poison Ivy, you know, I've been asked to give his book to a filmmaker.
On the first CD I did, it was the second CD I ever did. It was called It's Just Me. And it was sold online, but I bought a bulk amount of copies myself to, you know, sell to friends, family, whoever I came across, right?
Mm-hmm.
I sold most of them. I had 20 left. They were sitting in my car. And I was with a friend of mine, and they wanted to stop at a, what do they call them? Not a thrift shop. It was a consignment shop. And I went in there with them, looked around. They had all kind of stuff in there, you know, for sale and all that. And I just kind of mentioned to the lady at the counter and said, hey, do y'all sell music here? And she said, yeah, we, you know, we sell used CDs and that kind of stuff like that. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I've got some CDs in my car that I did, and I bought one in. I let her listen to the music. She listened to it. She liked it. And she said, oh, these are nice. I said, well, I got 20 of them left. I said, if you like, I can bring them in. You know, you can set up a little. Took me 15 minutes. We went in the back and got one of those little wire display stands and stuff, put a few of them up there. Put a price tag up there for $7.99. She sold all of them in about 2 weeks.
Wow.
Out of a consignment shop.
Right.
But you know what? I don't care if they were sold in a liquor.
Oh, there are ways of doing it. You just have to be creative enough. And hopefully you've built some relationships, you know, with some of these places. So if you're a man and you have to go get your hair cut somewhere, maybe think about talking to the barber. Can you put a flyer up? Can you, you know, leave some of your books?
Yeah.
You know, or whatever.
And if you come across with the right attitude, you come across professional, you come across, you know, humbly, you know, don't come in there and say, hey, you know what, I got this, or you need to, you know what, I will throw you out my place if you come in there like that.
Exactly.
But, you know, come ask nicely. And most of these people will say, hey, you know what, hey, let's give them a shot, let's put a couple of books out here. Let's, you know, put a couple of CDs out here. Let's play the music while people ain't here getting their hair cut or whatever, you know. And you never know what'll happen. If nothing else, even if you don't sell a thing, you may pick up some more fans that may say,
just the exposure of your product being there. They may ask more questions about you or remember you later on and come seek you out.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that you can do. I mean, that's how I got started, you know, selling product at my coffee shop is, you know, once I really got into the art community, you know, and doing book reviews online, I started reaching out to some of the authors about, you know, getting copies of their books to sell in my coffee shop. I did a really good, you know, get creative, start building some relationships. You know, if you go to church and you have a product that, you know, might be okay to sell, you know, for church, you might say, okay, you know, if the church helps you sell the CD, you know, you give, you know, a percentage to the church, you know, or whatever. I was talking to a jazz artist, and he was telling me that one of the things that has caused him to have successful events is he connects with a nonprofit organization. And he tells the nonprofit organization that he would like to give a percentage of the sales of the tickets to his event to their cause.
Exactly.
Then that way they open the doors for him to have access to their mailing list.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and he was able to promote out to their donors and their support system for the nonprofit to then say, hey, you know, such and such is performing at the Scarlet Tree, a percentage of the sales of that event is going to come back to us, go out and support that event. And then from there, he was able to gain new fans for his music.
Exactly.
You know,
there
so I was
so
really impressed with that
ways.
Idea. Right.
Yeah.
I had never thought of that idea, you know, but.
I did that with my very first CD. I contacted the. Because I've lost several family members to him, but you know I knew that you know nobody had ever heard of me before and all that, and it was just a way for me to get my foot in the door to get you know some just to get my name out there and get the music recognized a little bit.
Right.
And that thing it sold a whole bunch of copies. But they, so, yeah, there's tons of ways to do this.
So, you know, as this show comes to a close, and Stephen, I really thank you. You know, I couldn't have picked a better, you know, think about how we can move into 2012 stronger. You know, that's one of the biggest complaints that artists have. They feel that they're not supported and that they're not supported financially, you know, in consumers, you know, purchasing their product to, you know, paying to come see their events and this and that. Let's try to go into 2012, you know, different, hopeful, you know, with faith and determination that this is going to work in this year. I think that a lot of people suffered hardships in 2011. I think that, you know, there are people that have learned great tools and great things have happened, but I think that there are many that became discouraged. But if you keep this going and you believe in yourself and you've got, you know, one or two people behind you, that's a start, you know, and, you know, just go into 2012 and do that research that Stephen talked about. Consider what your brand looks like and be consistent with that brand. If you don't know what a brand is, go Google that. Again, all this information that can help you is online. Just think about it. The technology that we have at our fingertips, even on our cell phones now, you know, you can do research.
Yeah.
You know, my phone has Google and all of that. You know,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can do research just off of our cell phones now about this information and start taking notes. And one of the things before we close out the show, I would really stress you actually get a journal or start writing this information down, all kinds of journals, and I write in them. But when I'm watching different television shows, I write down thoughts and stuff that I hear, you know, on the shows and ideas that I see. So I encourage you to do the same. But I want to thank everybody who came out tonight and listened to Flavism talking about marketing and promotion. I am going to do an artist roundtable next Thursday at the same time, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, opening up the floor to have another discussion. We could continue this one and start a new one. But I just really want you to know that Flava News Radio is committed to supporting the underground independent artists and especially the members of the Flava News movement. So take care. God bless. And thank you so much for tuning in tonight to Flava News Radio for the Flavism Show. Stephen, thank you so much for calling in and participating in the show with me. And I'm actually going to play some more music before I actually close out the show. But I think
okay.
This was a great conversation. I think it was definitely worth having. What do you think?
Excellent. In fact, we brought up some real good points.
Yeah, I think we did. We did a good job, Stephen. Maybe
yeah.
We should do a webinar. No. I think we brought up some good points tonight that is very, very valuable, you know, and things to think about. And, you know, I think in having this conversation with you too, Stephen, it made me think about some things too, even for myself. Like, you know, Flavor, you just really need to refresh yourself on some things because, you know, I'm so committed and determined that going into 2012 I'm going to do some things differently. I've started some things already. I'm definitely, honestly, sincerely seeing some of the results already in some of the changes that I've made, you know, in the last month or two. So, I think I'm going to come back and listen to the archives of this show just to kind of, you know, I've been taking notes, you know, as we were talking, but come back and really absorb it. Isn't that funny? That makes me feel good, too.
My perfect picture materialized. Never thought I'd see it in front of my eyes. So sweet and gentle was your beauty. First glance, it felt like you know me. That I'd been dreaming of you, a creation in my mind that turned high school days. Went away to the university. Lost contact, but we said if ever we saw each other again, it would be forever. And then I saw you on the train. Spotted you, spotted me. It was just like a dream. Took a leap through the crowd to the dawn. But before I could get on in my fancy clothes, down, down, down. It wasn't even me you were looking at.
D.C., represented by Delonte Briggs of Briggs Management. Now I'm going to bring you up here to the Pacific Northwest, but this young lady happens to be produced by Stephen Jerome Ferguson, who happened to be on the show with me tonight talking about promotions and marketing. This piece is called Step Into This Love by Miss Leah Henderson.
To this love you never felt before. Step into this love that will hold you forevermore. It's not a love from outer space. It's a love seasoned with grace. Even the stars know this love because they were created by hands above. It's a love that never fades. It's a love that never goes away. So tell me, are you interested in this love that I'm bringing to you? Let me know so I can get it to you. But you can take your time. Now sit back while you unwind. Oh, the melody, the way it makes me feel, is so real. step into this love that will hold you forevermore.
Tonight, with the last piece, this is the newest member to Flava News Radio, and his name is Nuwambe. This piece is called All Mine.
Sweetness, I'm blessed to be in your sight. And you know that I want you, and I need you, got to have you. And if you do, I promise you don't have to worry about a thing. I shall provide and be right here by your precious side. My queen, don't tease me.
Closing out tonight's Flavism show is Nuwambe with his piece called All Mine. Nuwambe is represented by Hassan Brown with Puzzle Marketing Media. Again, another talent, amazing talent that Hassan is working with. I started out tonight's show playing Twin Spirit, who is also represented by Hassan Brown, to going into Eternally Blaze, who is produced by Stephen Jerome Ferguson, SJF Music. Monica Monet, that's my girl. She's got her own hustle, doing the work herself with a few people on the side helping her. Going into having a great, great, almost two-hour conversation with Stephen Jerome Ferguson of SJF Music. Closing out tonight's show with Tamika Love Jones, who's represented by Briggs Management out of Washington, D.C., to Leah Henderson, who is produced by Stephen Jerome Ferguson. And closing out tonight again with Nuwambe, the newest member of Flava News Radio, who is represented by Hassan Brown of Puzzle Marketing Media. Tonight we talked about promotions and marketing. What does that look like? What was your experience, and what can you take into 2012 and do it better and do it stronger and get more recognition and more sales out of your art? Take care. God bless. Help spread the word about what we're doing here, Ground Independent Artists.